I'd like to extend greetings and good morning wishes to everyone here today. I encourage you at this time to pick up a Bible and be opening to John, the 14th chapter. We're going to read John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. If you have a pew Bible with you, that's page 112 in the New Testament section. I just want to say as you're opening there that you couldn't have made a better choice than the one you made this morning. Such a beautiful day God has blessed us with, a beautiful Lord's Day, and there's nothing better we could be doing on any Lord's Day, doing the Lord's things in the Lord's house with the Lord's people, and you'd be commended for the choice that you made this morning. And hope as we endeavor to break open the bread of life and ingest God's Word and take in that nourishment, that it will be of great benefit to us this morning. Thank you for being here. John chapter 14. Starting in verse 1, Jesus had this to say to His disciples. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." Jesus, talking to His disciples there, shortly before He was going to leave their presence and go back to His Father in heaven, He told them to start there. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Do you ever have troubles in your life? Has anybody here ever experienced problems? Maybe there are times when your heart is troubled. You have heartaches. Has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever reached a point in your life where life just didn't make sense to you? Maybe it's even the case that you feel lost. Maybe you just feel all out of sorts. Maybe you even feel a sense of helplessness. Let me tell you, if your heart is troubled or if it's ever been troubled, I don't want you to feel like a Lone Ranger, because you're not the only one who ever experiences things like that. We all do. And I want to point out to you that even Jesus' closest friends, His disciples, the ones that walked and talked with Him day in and day out as He trod upon the face of this earth, even they experienced troubled hearts. And Jesus soothed the hearts of His good friends there when He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Jesus told them, "Look, I'm taking care of everything. I've got all of your problems covered. Don't you worry about it." He told them, "Look, I'm going away." And can you imagine how that must have troubled them to think their master, the one they had dedicated their lives to for the past however many months and years, that He was going to be leaving them? And He said, "Look, I'm going away, but I'm going to do something for you that you really need Me to do. I'm going to go to a place where you really need Me to go. I'm doing this for you. I'm going back to heaven where My Father lives, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm ascending back to My Father's house to make a room ready just for you. You're going to have your own room in My Father's house. And then I'm coming back for you. And when I come back for you, I'm going to get you and I'm going to take you home with Me to that special place I've prepared for you in My Father's house in heaven. And we're going to dwell there together forever." Can you think of anything that Jesus could have said to these friends of His at this time that could have been more soothing than that? That could have been more uplifting, that could have been more encouraging to them, to their troubled hearts, than the words that He shared with them right there? Just imagine if He had said a thing like that to you personally. How uplifting would that have been to you? How encouraging would that have been to you? Wouldn't it have just made your whole life to have Jesus say those words to you? Well, let me tell you, He did. He said these very words to you. This Bible was written for you personally. And Jesus makes the same promise to you. Jesus went back to heaven to prepare a place for you to live. And you know what He's promised? He's coming back He's coming back for you, and He's coming back for me. And you know what? He's going to take us to those ivory palaces in the heavens that we sing about from our hymnals from time to time. You know, that really, isn't that exactly what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that it is, that Jesus went and paved the way to heaven for us, and He opened up the gates for us there, and He's coming back to take us home with Him, that He is the way to heaven. He's the way. He's the only way. Isn't that awesome news? That word way, it literally means a path or a road. Sometimes it's rendered highway. And figuratively, it means a means or a way to access a place or a thing. Jesus is our access to heaven. And that's something awesome to think about, so comforting and encouraging to think, at least it is for me, that the best is yet to come. But if you're in Christ, it just keeps getting better and better for you. The news just keeps getting better if you belong to Jesus Christ. Because, yeah, Jesus is coming back for us. He promises to take us home to heaven with Him, to be with Him forever. But in the interim, in the meantime, you know what Jesus wants for us? He wants the very best life that we can possibly have. And He's provided that for us. He's given us the means to access that as well. Jesus is not just the way to heaven. Even though that would be marvelous and awesome enough, that would be enough in and of itself to buy the ticket, to follow Him wherever He would lead us. But that's not the only thing that He's the way to. Jesus is the way to the best life that anybody could ever possibly live on planet Earth. Jesus is the way to all the best that the Father has to offer any one of us, the people that He created, that He loves so very much, that He provided for. Jesus is the way to everything worth having in this life and in the life to come. Jesus is the way to the good life. Did you know that? He wants us to have life, and He wants us to have life more abundantly. Open your Bibles to John, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Jesus had some more encouraging words to say to His disciples there. Jesus said there in John chapter 10, verses starting in verse 7, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly.'" Jesus said, "I am the way." He is the road that leads to the Father. Here He says, "I am the door." He is the portal. He is the access. He is the entryway into the fold of safety where all of God's people dwell. Jesus said He is the life. And He wants us to have life and live life more abundantly. He just wants our life to abound with blessings. Now look, Jesus doesn't promise us that He's going to deliver us a life of leisure and luxury and fame and fortune. But you know what? The way that Jesus provides for us, it only opens up so many more and better and greater blessings than those kind of gifts that He could give us had He chose to give those things to us. He taught us that life is so much more than our physical possessions, didn't He? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, He said, "Be aware, be on your guard against all forms of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." The best life that you can live is not about accumulating a bunch of possessions, a bunch of worldly goods. Life is not a big scavenger hunt. The winner of life is not the one at the end who ends up with the most stuff, like you might read or hear people say things like that in the world today. Collecting stuff is not living. It's amassing a bunch of dead weight. Jesus came to this world to provide a means to lift all of those burdens up off of our shoulders. You know, the more things that we have in this world, of a physical nature, a material nature, that just means the more things we have to worry about and who we're going to leave it to and what they're going to do with it after we're gone. Jesus came to lift that weight of burden up off of our shoulders, not pile more of them on and weigh us down. He promises He's going to take care of our every physical need if we follow Him. He said that. He said, if you pursue first the kingdom of God, then all the things that we need are going to be added to us. But life is so much more than our physical needs. Life is about so much more than the food that we put in our bellies, the clothes that we wear on our backs, the cars that we drive, the houses that we live in, the life lived more abundantly, the abundant life that Jesus wants to provide for us, that only He can offer us, is just teeming with spiritual blessings. Those are the greatest blessings of all, the spiritual ones. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is in Christ. Every good thing that God has to offer us from the realm of heaven, the spiritual realm, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. He is the key to the storehouses of heaven. He is the way to them. Jesus is not just the way to heaven. He's the way to all the spiritual blessings that God emits forth from heaven and showers upon His children below. Christ is the way to a brand new spiritual family that would be like no other family that you've ever had in your life if you're not a member of Christ's family right now. What a wonderful spiritual blessing my brothers and sisters in Christ are to me. They lift me up like no one else in this world can because we share a common goal. We share a common faith. We're both aiming toward the same destiny, toward the same goals. And there's nothing quite as uplifting as the time I spend with my spiritual family. And Jesus is the only way to a loving Father who cares for us deeply. He cares for His children so deeply He provides everything for them that they need. And that's all people in the world. But His spiritual children, those who belong to Him in a special way, He has so many more great things in store for them. And Jesus is the only way to the Father in heaven in prayer. Did you know that? If you're not in Christ, if you don't belong to Him and follow His way, then you can pray all day long if you want to, and God's not going to hear you. He's not going to pay attention to you. What did Jesus say? He said, if you ask anything in My name, then the Father will hear you and He'll answer your prayer. So Jesus is the way to the Father in prayer. If you're going to have an effective prayer life, Jesus is going to be the means and the mode of you pulling that off. And look, Jesus is the only way to true joy and peace, the peace which the things of this world cannot offer you, but also that the things of this world cannot take away from you. It's such a unique joy and peace that Jesus offers us, and it can only be found in Him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 talks about that joy and that peace that can only be found in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, for in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What else in this world can offer that kind of peace and joy? So much joy that it was going to cause you to rejoice. That can only be found in Christ. And He tells us how to access that. He says we're to petition the Father. We're to pray to Him. That we're to make requests and supplications and thanksgiving to Him. And He's going to provide this joy to us. You can only access the throne of God in prayer through Christ. And you can only access that peace that God supplies through those requests in Christ. And it's a peace, it says, that surpasses comprehension. And that is a joy that is a cause for rejoicing. And I have lived a long life by most people's standards, and I just haven't found anything similar to that residing in the world. Let me ask you something. Do you want the good life? I think most people will say, yes, I want the good life. Well, maybe it is that you just need to redefine your terms. What exactly that means? What it means to have a good life? Maybe you're looking for it in all the wrong places. Maybe you're going about it all the wrong ways. Jesus is the only way. It tickles me. If it wasn't so sad and pathetic, but the beer commercials that you see on television during the ball games especially, they promise the good life. If you'll drink this brand of beer, your life is going to be so great. They promise the sweet life. Even one brand of beer offers the high life, right? Well, let me tell you something. A beer buzz might get you high for a little while, but you're just going to come crashing down shortly thereafter. There's no maintaining that high that you get from alcohol. Drinking yourself silly might cause you to laugh. As a matter of fact, it might cause you to laugh for no apparent reason at all. I've seen that happen with folks. But it's not a cause for rejoicing. I never see anyone who is drunk from drinking alcohol rejoice about that, especially the next day when he has to wake up and face the consequences of that poor choice that he made. It certainly can't deliver access to the fold of safety, to God as a loving Father, to a spiritual family, to God who meets all of your needs and provides all of the peace and the joy that you could ever want or that you could ever find anywhere else. No drink, no drug, no degree, no career, anything that this world can offer, none of that can offer you what Jesus can. Jesus is the only way to the only life that's really worth living. And speaking of those spiritual blessings, Jesus is the only way to forgiveness. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Jesus is the only answer to the biggest problem that you have in your life. And that problem is sin. And look, everyone's guilty of sin. There's no way around it. Every single one of us. And the bad news is, the result of sin is death. The good news is, Jesus is the way. Jesus is our only way out of that problem of sin that every one of us has. Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has. And in Romans 6:23 it says, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way out of the problem of sin is to get into Christ Jesus. Look, all a bunch of sin is ever going to get you in your life is death. And it's talking about eternal death there. Because he's talking about the gift of God is eternal life. Well, that death that the wages of sin offers us is ought to be eternal death, or that wouldn't make any sense. All a bunch of sin gets you is death and misery and heartache and hardship. The very things that rob us of the good life. You want the good life? Let me tell you, sin is standing in the way of that. There's always going to be incredible hardship if your life is defined by sin and it hasn't been taken away in Christ. What are the obstacles impeding access to the good life on this earth and then to the best life, the life ever after? You think about it. What is the cause of so much unhappiness that exists in the world today? What is the cause? What is the thing robbing people of the world of the inner peace that they want so badly? What is it that keeps people estranged from God and their access and their hope to an eternal home in heaven? Isn't it things like lust and greed and immorality and envy and pride and theft and abuse and murder? Aren't these the very things that cause us all this hardship in the world? It's all sin. Sin is the problem. Aren't these the things that destroy marriages? These types of sins? The things that destroy families and friendships and property and destroy people's minds and destroy their souls? And aren't these the things that trouble people's hearts, really? If we could avoid these things, wouldn't our lives be that much better for having done so? Jesus came to bring relief to our hearts because of the havoc that sin has wreaked on them. And look, Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to forgiveness. The forgiveness that we all need for that peace on earth that we want and that eternal life in heaven that we need. Jesus provided that for us when He bled and died on the cross. Well, you ready for a bit of irony? A lesson about sin and the grief that it causes? Do you know what the source of all of our sinfulness really is? When it all boils down to the thing that causes our heart so much turmoil and trouble, the irony of it all is the very thing that's troubling our heart is our heart. Our heart is the source of all the sin that causes trouble in our life. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus talks about that. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, and murders, and adulteries, and fornications, and thefts, and false witness, and slanders. These are the things which defile the man." The very things that are causing our heart troubles are the things that are coming forth from our heart. I guess really, though, that does make sense if you think about it. The solution to the problem is going to be found at the source of the problem, these heart problems that we have. The things that we cherish in our hearts, the things that we store up in our hearts, the things we long for, the things we live for sometimes, are the very things that are robbing us of the good life that we so desperately want on this earth and in the one in the life to come. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is despicably sick. Who can understand it?" Who can understand the heart? It is more evil than anything else. I, for one, cannot begin to get a grasp on my heart. My heart has gotten me in so much trouble in my life. That's why I'm bald on top. I pulled all my hair out because my heart's gotten me in so much trouble. You know the old saying, if you just follow your heart, it's going to lead to happiness. It's going to open the door to happiness for you. Don't buy into that. Don't believe it. If you follow your heart, chances are it's going to lead you in a place where you don't want to be. Who are you supposed to follow? You're supposed to follow Jesus. You're supposed to follow the way. Jesus is the way that leads to happiness and health and life, good life in this realm of existence and eternal life on the other side. If we're just left to our hearts, then we're going to end up following it right into the path of destruction. And I think we've all done that in our lives. We just have to make sure that we're doing everything we can, everything that's within our power, to follow Jesus and to obey Him. Jesus is the way out of sin and a life devoted to sin and into the good life. Well, how do you get into that way? How do you get into Jesus? If He is the way, if He is the road, if He is the door, if He is the life, how do we get in there? Well, the Bible's pretty clear about that. It tells us what to do. It says you have to believe in Jesus. Jesus said, unless you believe that He is who He claimed to be, the Christ, God on earth, the Son of God, unless you believe that He is who He claims to be, then you're going to die in your sins. He says that in John chapter 8 and verse 24. And look, you don't want that. You don't want to die in your sins because that leads to an eternity in hell. But Jesus said, unless you believe in Him, that's what's going to happen. But you have to be willing to repent of your sins. Let me tell you, Jesus is not going to forgive you of sins that you have no intention whatsoever of quitting. If you come to Jesus and say, I believe in You, but I'm not going to abandon the things that keep me separated from You, it's useless. You got to be willing to repent and turn to your sins. And you have to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the very first sermon that we have recorded for us after Jesus died and went back to his heaven. The apostles were preaching that day, and they convicted the people there of sin. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do about it?" And Peter said, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." So you see, you got to turn from your sins. And then you got to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. Galatians 3:27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." How do you get in Christ? How do you get into Christ? The way, the truth, the life. You got to be baptized into Him. But maybe there are some of you here this morning, or some listening over the internet or CD, that have taken these steps, but your heart is still troubled. You're still frightened. You're still doubtful. Maybe you're even miserable. Maybe you've come to a point in your life that, once again, you just feel all out of sorts and you don't know what to do about that. How did you get there? How did you get from the good life in Christ and end up in this place where nobody wants to be, where you got out of when you got into Christ? Jeremiah, once again, back in Jeremiah chapter 17, before he said the heart is more deceitful than all else, he said this in verses 7 and 8. He said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Who is the man that's going to be blessed? And who's going to be able to withstand all the storms and the droughts of life, the things that cause us so much trouble? The one who trusts his heart, because the heart is more deceitful than all else. The one who trusts the Lord. The one who trusts the way, who follows Christ, who follows God. Could it be, if you found yourself in a place like this again, if you found yourself in a spiritual desert place, that you have trust issues? Could it be that you're just not trusting the Lord right now? Now look, once you've committed your life to Christ, you've got to trust Him with that commitment. You have to trust Him that He's going to be able to deliver on all the promises that He made you when you gave your life to Him. That faith that you have in Christ, it's belief, but it's so much more than belief. It's based on trust and conviction that God can and will deliver you from all of your problems, and He will keep His promises to you all the way till the end. You got to trust that He is more than willing and able to deliver you from all your trials and all your troubles and take you home. Well, maybe the prospects of your mortality have never been more near and more clear than they are right now in your life. Maybe you're suffering from poor health, or maybe you're advanced in age, and that has caused your heart to be troubled. Are you faithfully following Jesus today? Let me encourage you not to worry about it. Jesus has got it all taken care of. He's got it all covered. In His house, in His Father's house, are many mansions. And He went back there to prepare a place for you. And He's coming back for you to take you home to that room He's prepared for you in His Father's house. You're in good hands with Jesus. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe Him. He's going to follow through on everything that He said that He was going to do for you. God will take care of you. We sang that song right before the lesson. He'll take care of you. Trust Him. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Don't be afraid of what awaits on the other side for you. If you feel very close to that point of transition, because you know what waits on the other side for you? Rest. eternal rest from your labors and your worries and your pains. So you've accessed the door and the way and the life, and you're worshiping and serving Christ faithfully, you have nothing to fear. But if you're not, we can take care of that right this morning for you. And you won't have to worry about that anymore. We can baptize you into Christ this very morning if you're so inclined to do that. You can go ahead and pick up your song books. We're going to sing number 639 as a song of praise to God and encouragement to you. And I so appreciate your kind attention this morning. I could tell everybody was following along with what was being read and said, and that you took the thing seriously this morning. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to tell you, God appreciates that as well. This lesson about Jesus being the way is so important. There's no other way to God, to heaven, to life eternal, but through Jesus. He is the way, the one and only way. It's a one-way street. It's His way or the highway. And you really need to understand that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He claimed exclusive rights to the Father. He's the only access. There's no other way to forgiveness. You can't find it in Muhammad or Allah or Buddha or Vishnu or Brahma or anyone or anything else. I don't care what anybody else in this world tells you. It's just not about just being a good person and following any religious path you want. You got to follow the path of Jesus. So there's only one way to forgiveness and the best life in the life to come, and that's through Him and doing what He says. And please, if you walk away this morning understanding anything from this lesson, please get that. He's your only shot. So if we can baptize you in the Christ this morning, if you're ready to give your life to Him, we're ready to do that. If you need to study more about what it is that Jesus requires of you, what His ways are, and how He expects you to live your life, we want to do that with you. We need to do that with you. You need to learn what Jesus expects of you, because you're going to stand before Him one day. And He's going to be your judge. And if we can pray for you or with you, anything we can do to help you to find the way, we want to do that. So why don't you come right now and let us know that as we're standing and singing.